Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavala Bhavi Paratahi. Yasodhanandana Brajjana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Pranjana Ranjana. Jamana Teha Vanachari. Jamana Teha Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Hari Raja Kacharya Asto Thurasatat Sisima Divine Grace is confined Acharya Srila Abhacharana Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Hari Raja Kacharya Asto Thurasatat Sisima Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki. Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur ki Pramsik Ahavsi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadharar Si Vasari Si Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Syama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Srivandavan Dham Ki Simatura Dham Ki Mayapanavadip Dham Ki Sujaganapuri Dham Ki Gangamai Jamunamai Ki Simati Tulsi Devi Bhakta Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vinda Ki Nithai Gaur Premanandi. All glories of the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to Sisi Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrita Naram Cheva Narutam Devin Sarasvati Vyasa Tapto Jaya Mudhirai Nastra payesu bhadrisu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavaiti naistike. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Text 16 to 17. The title of this chapter is The Killing of the Demon Trinavata. Text 1-6. Gava sarva guno peta Vasa srak ruk mamalini Atma jabhyu dayataya Pradatte chavayan sarva Yunjata. Gava sarva guno peta Vasa sragrupa malini Atmaja byudayataya Pradapte chambayunjata. Can someone try? Word for word translation. Gava. Cows. Sarvaguna upitaha. Being fully qualified by giving sufficient milk, etc. Vasaha. Well dressed. Shrak. With flower garlands. Rukmamalini. And with garlands of gold. Atmaja abhyudaya ataya. For the purpose of his son's affluence. Pradat gave in charity. Te those Brahmanas. Cha. Also, Ambayujata, accepted them. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is confirmed, Acharya. Srila Abhachana Navinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Nanda Maharaj, for the sake of the affluence of his own son Krishna, gave the Brahmanas cows fully decorated with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. These cows, fully qualified to give ample milk, were given to the Brahmanas in charity. And the Brahmanas accepted them and bestowed blessings upon the whole family, especially upon Krishna. Please respond, repeat. Nanda Maharaj, for the sake of the affluence of his own son Krishna, gave the Brahmanas cows fully decorated with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. These cows, fully qualified to give ample milk, we are given to the Brahmanas in charity, and the Brahmanas accepted them and bestowed blessings upon the whole family, especially upon Krishna. Nanda Maharaj first fed the Brahmanas sumptuously and then gave them in charity first-class cows fully decorated with golden necklaces, garments, and flower garlands. So I quickly go to text 17. Vipra mantra vido yuktas tai ya proktas tatas tatas sisaha tanis phala bhavishanti Nakadachit apit putam. Translation: the Brahmanas, who were completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns, were all yogis fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke were certainly not fruitless. Purport: Brahmanas fully equipped with the Brahmanical qualifications are always yogis, fully powerful in mystic yoga. Their words never fail. In every transaction with other members of society, Brahmanas are certainly dependable. In this age, however, one must take into account that the Brahmanas are uncertain in their qualifications. Because there are no yajnik Brahmanas, all yajnas are forbidden. The only yajna recommended in this age is Sankirtan yajna. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 32. Yajna is meant to satisfy Vishnu. Jagatat kamano yantra loka yam kamapandana. Because in this age there are no qualified Brahmanas, people should perform jagya by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Jagai sankirtana prayai yajantihi sumedha saha. Life is meant for jagya. And jagya is performed by chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Om Ajnana Timirandasya, Ajnana Jana Salakaya, Saksodur Netam, Jena Tismai, Si Guru Vem, Maha. Suchetaya Mano Bhisan, Sapi. Om Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tsunamini Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravan Pichavini Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Pachatya Disatarini. So, first we'd like to appreciate the fact that we have a chance again this time to come to have the association of the devotees in New Ramareti. It's always joyful to come here because we have so many of Prabhupada's senior disciples here. And it's very spiritually energizing to be here. So, here in this very chapter, a chapter is dealing with the killing of a demon called Trinavata. Now, sometimes, you know, people hear devotee presentations outside, and they're very much enlivened. They feel, oh, these Hare Krishnas, they're very intelligent people. Let me go to their temple and hear more of, you know, this high-tech, transcendental spiritual philosophy. And especially during Janmashtami period, and then I experienced this in Nigeria, in Africa, especially during Janmashtami period, you know, we just go on reading from Krishna book. And so when people come, sometimes, you know, they're disappointed because, you know, they came with the idea of, you know, hearing, you know, big philosophies and all this type of stuff. But, you know, the devotees are simply doing what we'll call a community of inquiry. They're reading, sometimes, you know, one devotee reads one page or even a paragraph or two paragraphs and gives it to another devotee to read. And, you know, when the people come, and they come with the expectation that they want to sit down in the class and, you know, hear all types of, you know, arguments and philosophies. So they're completely defeated because their purpose is not met. And sometimes they think that, you know, what is this, all these stories about? I didn't come here to hear stories. But, you know, what is embedded in the Vedic literatures are not just stories. For instance, here, the chapter is dealing on the killing of Trinavata. And basically, in our devotional cultivation, we have so many impediments that are on our way or challenges we have to deal with as we prosecute Krishna consciousness. Now, Krishna knows better than anyone else the challenges we are having. And therefore, when he came, he enacted these different pastimes of killing, you know, so-called demons. But each and every of these killing has a very significant inner meaning. For instance, this the killing of the Trinavata demon, it is mentioned that in Kali Yoga, the sastras also mentioned, the Kali Yoga is characterized by, you know, quarrels. What brings quarrels? What is it that brings quarrels? Quarrels, different opinions, differences in opinion, or argument. And it takes two people to argue. We don't find one person engaged in argument with himself. It takes just two people to argue. So in Kali Yoga, even trivial issues could bring about protracted argument. And sometimes even within the spiritual communities, we hear people arguing just for the sake of argument. We don't condemn argument. In fact, constructive argument is very much encouraged. But sometimes we embark on destructive argument. And this is the main reason why Krishna enacted this pastime. The idea of someone
reading this pastime of killing Trina Water with devotional absorption, the merit is that one is able to cleanse from his consciousness or our consciousness the tendency, the general tendency to be argumentative. Sometimes even people argue with the spiritual masters. Spiritual master gives an instructions, and you know they go back to argue that, you know, for this reason and this reason, you know, I will not be able to, you know, carry out instruction. Carry out that instruction. It happens. So, especially in Kali Yoga, arguments are is all pervasive. One of the causes of divorce is also, you know, arguments in the family. People are not submissive. If even I know that my opinion is not very cogent, it's not very productive, I want my opinion to be accepted because of my false ego. And even in scholarship, in the academy, even in Vedic scholarship, we find people in the Mahabharata, it is mentioned that, you know, you are only a big muni, naso muni, yesa matanga bina. The characteristics of being a muni is that, you know, your opinion is different from others. In other words, you know, if someone says something and you don't find fault in him and, you know, make some argument, then it means that you are not a very scholarly person. It is not like that. Therefore, if someone is able to properly absorb himself or herself in this pastime of Krishna killing the Trina Water demon, one is able to cleanse from one's consciousness this type of impurity, this tendency, you know, tendency for argumentativeness. And sometimes the arguments, it is also fracas. It is also fights. It is also even litigations. Little things that, you know, people could just adjust themselves to suit the purpose of the other person and to be able to just move on. They argue over it, fight over it. And, you know, it brings lots and lots of problems. And therefore, the pastimes of the Lord in killing demons is to be able to help us cleanse our consciousness as we prepare for Braja Bhajans. So it is very important, even in our own society, and wherever there are policy formulations, people like to argue, even in spiritual organizations. And one of the things I also observed in the past, especially in some of our Easter ghosts, is that, you know, Easter ghosts, people should come together to make some propositions about how to better the laws of the community, to be able to propose ideas for a better preaching project. But sometimes we come together and it's all, you know, it is also argument. So Kali Yoga is like that. So it is important for us to understand the significance of Krishna killing the Trina Water demon. And it's all geared towards, Krishna understands the difficulties we are facing in Kali Yoga. And when we read these pastimes with pinpointed devotion, then we can actually become cleansed from such contaminations. Now, in text 17, Prabhupada mentioned something very, the commentators, the followers of Prabhupada, they made something very much relevant. They made some comment very relevant to our everyday reality in terms of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a preaching mission. In Kali Yoga, it is difficult to find dependable Brahmanas. In fact, the sastras brings to bear that, in fact, in Kali Yoga, everybody is literally, practically a sudra, kalo sudra sambhava. Because people are even having Brahmin initiation, but they don't function as Brahmins. People even carry Brahmin trait. In India, when you're born in a Brahmin family, you're automatically a Brahmin. I mean, it's like, so to say, if someone is born, if a medical doctor gives birth to a child, then the child automatically becomes a medical doctor. It could be that funny. And so when you meet sometimes people, you're preaching to them, especially from people from India, you're preaching to them, and I found this in Africa, and then they bring out their thread. And they're working in the factory. They bring out their thread. I'm a Brahmin. A Brahmin is supposed to be what? He's supposed to give guidance to society. He's supposed to worship Krishna. He's supposed to be there for uplifting human society, not works that are meant to bring about degradation. And some of the so-called caste Brahmins, they work in, you know, they engage in ugrakamic activities, works that are meant to destroy human society. They engage them, in works having to do with all this, living in slaughterhouses. So the point is, it is very difficult to get Brahmins in Kali Yuga. The age is so degraded. You know, we call it Iron Age, but if you look at Kali Yuga, it's not really, it's actually, it's more degraded than iron, being an Iron Age. I call it Plastic Age. Because everything is made with plastic these days. Even plates are made with plastics, cups are made with plastics, even airplanes are made with plastics. You think the airplanes flying in the air, are made of ions? Go on top the top, you know, the casing of the airplane. So, and even, you know, there's plastic all over the place. We have plastic surgery and plastic everything. So the point is that in Kali Yuga, we could also get the best out of such a degraded age. Our memories are so dull, our lifespan is so short. And sometimes, you know, it's just laughter provoking when people tend to do things. They're in Kali Yuga, but they are acting as if they are in Satya Yuga. A typical example. You know, people, sometimes they get exposed or they read about, you know, meditation or yoga. And then they say they are doing yoga or meditation. But, you know, they don't even know what age that process of self-realization was being prosecuted. In Satya Yuga, people were living for thousands of years. So you could do meditation for thousands of years. And you could sit in a particular position, just the sitting postures, it takes you time. It takes you a number of years. Breathing exercise, it takes you a number of years of perfecting that before you ultimately come to that point of samadhi. And here in Kali Yuga, we are living for only 100 years or even less. If you go to the obituaries, hardly you find someone who lives for 100 years. In America, you find people living for 100 years plus. But, I mean, you go to developing countries, average lifespan is 65, 55 in some cases. So, there is a prescribed a process of self-realization in every age. And in Kali Yuga, as given to us by Prabhupada, from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, it is a process that is based on simply chanting of Krishna's holy names. Sometimes people complain, I don't have taste for chanting the holy names. My argument to that effect is, for instance, if someone is going to school, who has taste for going to school to do rigorous studies? Which child that says, I love going to school? We don't find it. Look, I can give an example of myself. My father has to arrange with the teachers when I was in kindergarten to arrange with my classmates to come and drag me to school. I hated going to school. I prefer to stay at home, you know, and be pet by my mom and, you know, eat whatever I like and, you know, play around. Who likes going to school? But the parents and elders of the family, they inspire, they motivate the child to go to school. Why? For the child's sustainable social future. Because if you don't have skills, you're going to be a beggar on the road. You're going to be a bum. And if you don't have skills, how are you thinking of even enjoying your life, materially speaking? Therefore, people, you know, send your, you know, they motivate their children. Sometimes they bribe their children to go to school. They condition them. Go to school and I'll give you this. Go to school today and I'll do like this for you. Even job, going to work. Who likes working? I was interviewing some, you know, some guys the other day, some professors. I said, but do you really like to work every day? They said, no. Even researchers, they said, no. We don't like to work every day. We prefer to just stay at home and do nothing and, you know, get money. And even, I mean, who likes to go to work? For the devotees who are working, who likes to go to work? Even after knowing that it's come abandoned, I mean, work binds one to this material world. Who likes to do that? The people have they force themselves to go to work because they have to sustain their families. They have to fend for themselves. So we can't use the excuse of no taste and say we wouldn't chant Hare Krishna. We know that the chanting purifies us. We may not have the taste in the beginning, but we just have to do it because of the knowledge we have, the benefits that are inherent in chanting Krishna's holy names. And even beside the material benefits we are going to have, which are like side effect, this is a good side effect of this drug, that you have material benefits. Now, if you take some drugs, if you are on medication, the side effects could be very hazardous to your health. You know, some medications you take, they deal with the particular ailment that you are addressing, but they create more complications in your life in other ways. But this very medication, this transcendental, supramundane medication, chanting of Krishna's holy names, is going to award us liberation from birth and death. And even before we go back home, back to God, we're going to live a very, very peaceful, serene lives. We're not going to be driven by our senses against our better judgment. But, you know, people don't care. Even children born in our movement, I mean, they don't, sometimes, you know, people just take for granted. They don't want to chant. They don't want to perform the jagya. But it is not surprising because the Bhagavatam says it is only the, you know, people whose brains are replete with Parker intelligence, super intelligent. People who are super intelligent, they are the ones who embark on this jagya. So people in general, they will not be interested because people don't want to perform austerities. We were reading from the reading this morning, we heard that if you've been chanting Hare Krishna and you are not aligning yourself with the four regulative principles of freedom, you will not get the optimum benefit. And so again, I mean, it's like if you're performing an experiment, even in the laboratory, you're performing an experiment, there are conditions. The room has to be under a particular temperature before you get the results. So there are conditions. Even we are chanting Hare Krishna, there are conditions. We can't be chanting Hare Krishna and we're going to smoke ganja or we're going to have illicit relationships or, you know, we're going to eat all types of boga and all this stuff. We're not going to get the full benefit. Yajanti, hey, Sumedha Saha, Sumedha Saha. Sumedasa is in the superlative degree, just like we have, you know, big, bigger, biggest. Those who have, you know, the big, people with biggest brains, they are the ones who engage in Sankirtan Jagya. And so sometimes, you know, people think, you know, these Hare Krishna, they're just singing in the streets. What are they doing? Because they have big brains. That's the meaning. So, we have been given something very precious. And, you know, sometimes a child may be born in a very aristocratic family with all the facilities, but, you know, because they don't work for it, they don't see the importance of it. So sometimes we find ourselves in this type of situation where, you know, every morning we have a chance to come and have the darshan of their lordship. And we have an opportunity to be able to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We have an opportunity to go and distribute Krishna's holy names on the streets. And we don't sometimes seem to see the value, the importance of this type of activities. But this is what is recommended as the sacrifice for people who really want to become purified in the age of Kali. In fact, even our japa is just food for the spirit that prepares us to do the main thing. Our main job is to go into the streets to distribute Krishna's names. The japa is food. You know, if you have to go to work, you have to eat, right? You eat, then you go to work, you go to the office. Our japa is just to be able to fortify us to do our job, distributing Krishna's mercy. And if we don't eat, we will not have the energy even to do the job. In other words, if we don't chant japa, we will not have the zeal, the enthusiasm to even share this precious information, this precious spiritual jewel with others. Even for the rich people, the opulent people, their happiness is having to share their wealth with other people. That's why, you know, most of these top millionaires or billionaires, they are charitably disposed. And we see here, Nanda Maharaj is also very charitably disposed. He invited the Brahmins. And just imagine the cows, the necklace, they are gold necklaces. Sometimes we think that, you know, we are making progress in Kali Yuga. We have paper, okay? Paper in form of money, dollar. And in a necklace, if we have some plastic necklace, oh, we feel very, 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 very important. But the necklaces, for cows, not human beings, for cows, gold. So, but we should not regret of being born in Kali Yuga. Krishna has, you know, a way to overcompensation. Krishna is overcompensating us, you know, because of the degraded Kali that we found ourselves in. With a very simple process, Krishna is overcompensating us with a very simple process of how to attain it and how to distribute his mercy to others. How many people in Kali Yuga would go to see, I will even sit down in a place. You know, I was at one of these universities in Boston, so it was a yoga class. So the fellow who is organizing the class, he called me to come and give some presentation. So then I was mentioning that, I sat in a particular position. That I asked all of them that, you know, can you sit in that way? They said no. I said, but I could sit like that for hours. So the yoga that you're performing, I told them, the yoga you're performing, I mean, it's just to keep you busy. It's just to keep you busy. And most of you are performing the yoga just, you know, for physical fitness, for more sense gratification. But if you really want to understand what yoga is, the ultimate platform of yoga is bhakti, you know, a yoga of love, reunion with God via loving relationship. So our process is very simple. We have to create a viable future, not only for ourselves, but for anybody we meet, for members of our community, by simply distributing Krishna's holy names. It is such a simple thing. Prabhupada would ask, what is the difficulty? We don't have excuses. So, the bottom line is, in every age, there is a prescribed process for realizing Krishna. In Kali Yoga, we have been given the process of Sankirtan Jagya, inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya himself. The Sankirtan movement is coming from the spiritual world. It is not that, you know, someone created it. It's the Lord himself who inaugurated it. And no one can check it. The intelligent people, they join the progressive parties. You don't go and join a party. Even in politics, you don't go and join a party that is not progressing. What will you do with it? So, this is a very progressive party. People try to stop it. And even the justice couldn't stop it. Remember, because when the Kazi tried to stop Lord Chaitanya's movement, he couldn't. So we rest assured that success is guaranteed. So let us join the bandwagon of success and distribute Krishna's holy names. We will be the beneficiaries. Hare Krishna. Are there some comments or some questions? Yes, Yamaraj.
Chanting the holy name, I was thinking we have a period every day called Japa period, and so quite often, you know, just say like if a guest came here and they were new or something, and they came and during Japa period, they might find a lot of people walking around talking, just talking, all during Japa period. And so why do we as devotees, we know how important it is to chant the holy name, and especially when we get together and chant.
Okay, let me answer you. I understand what you're saying. You see, the problem is we are minimizing the process. We are minimizing Krishna's presence in our lives. And how many of us, for instance, or young people who just need to get married, you just got wedded, and you're supposed to go on honeymoon. And if you're even a devotee, maybe you will not go for honeymoon, but that is a very precious, those few days, a precious period, you know. You have to have a good rapport with your spouse, newly wedded spouse. You people even don't receive telephone calls. They want to give quality time to each other. New wedded spouse, partner. They don't want to give quality time to each other. Now, we are trying to reestablish a lost loving relationship with Krishna, our object of love. And when we are having a rapport with him, we keep our telephones open. We're waiting for other calls to come in. It means that we don't love the person. It means we don't love the person. And even I've seen cases where, you know, a girl is with his with her boyfriend, and then the parents call. And then she didn't pick the call. Because, you know, she's having a rapport with the boyfriend. She's speaking with the boyfriend. If she picks the call, the boyfriend will say, come on, this is nonsense. I am here. Who else you love? You love someone else more than me? When we finish associating, you can make your telephone. I mean, you can answer calls or you can call back. It should just be a missed call. But in our movement, I found even in some temples I've been to, I remember one temple, I don't want to mention the name, but I was so much disturbed, I couldn't tolerate it. I called the leader over. I said, come. I said, see, you are the leader of this temple, and you have your telephone on, chanting japa. The phone rings, and then you go to answer the call, or you even answer the call right to the japa hall. What type of example you're showing to the people? Yeah, what type of example you're... You see, we should give quality time to Krishna. Krishna gave us 24 hours, free, gratis, nothing, no charge, no bills, free. If you go and meet a doctor, consultation for 2 hours, they will bill you. Okay? And here, you are talking to the supreme doctor. And you don't want to give your time. If a patient has an ailment, it is the patient's concern to have that close relationship with the doctor. Nobody else is allowed to come into that room. They are discussing. And sometimes even the doctors, when they're dealing with their patients, they don't receive calls. I've seen it. So we are supposedly in love with Krishna, and it's time for us to give quality time to Krishna. But we have so many extraneous, extrinsic things that we want to relate with at the same time. This is not good. So devotees should understand that we have just small time to give to Krishna. We should give that time to Krishna. We should, no matter how busy we are, we should give that time to Krishna. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. It just shows that, we are not serious with our devotional life. And, we could do that for several years. It's called inattentive chanting. It's actually an offensive chanting. So when we want to talk to Krishna, we should just give that time to Krishna. We should finish chanting before we do our conversation drills. The mind is a problem. The senses are pulling us. The mind is telling, the mind may even go to sleep. Immediately you carry your japa mala, the mind is fully armed. It comes for the showdown. Then it tells you one thing. Oh, this is... You forgot to do this thing last time, This is the time you should do it. This is the time you should do it. You had a call the other day. You've not returned that call. You need to return the call now. It's a japa period. It's a japa period. So the mind is a showdown from the mind. We don't seem to identify this sometimes, and then we get carried. Then the mind subdues us. It's a very tempting situation, but we should understand, when is the time for my japa, I should give quality time to Krishna. We have to practice to do that. I remember when we joined, when it is japa, it's japa. If you whisper to anybody, you are fasting that morning. it was like a military regime. Japa period is japa period. If you whisper to somebody, another devotee near you, you are fasting. If another devotee is sleeping, you don't talk. You go close by to just tap him to help him to get up, to wake up. And you move on with your chanting. So we have to take the chanting. This is the jagya for this age. This is the most important aspect of our life. We are having a rapport with our beloved. Who wants interference when he's talking with his beloved or when she's talking with her loved one? Who wants interference? It's like we are calling Krishna, and then Krishna comes before us, and then we turn our face. That's what we do when, you know, we allow all of these negative things to interfere with our chant. So we have to practice. It's by practice. If some of us are really affected by this type of things, and then we complain, we'll be chanting Hare Krishna for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But, you know, Uddhava says that, you know, Krishna's pastimes, his holy names, they are like a beverage. But this beverage has to be drunk through the ears. Kana piyusam asadya. If one is able to drink this beverage, this nectar, through the ears, he will become purified. And when he's purified, the sign or the symptom is that he is not interested in any exogenous enjoyment, external, extrinsic enjoyment. He does not become carried away with external bearing. So we get so much, in Kali Yoga, we get too much agitated because, you know, the environment is so terrible and then we don't seem to take cognizance of the fact that we are very volatile. The jiva is tathasta. It could easily be influenced by the illusory energy. So we have to know our weakness. If someone does not know his or our weakness, that's a big problem. If someone is having some ailment, and he does not even identify that he's having an ailment, then that is a big problem. So we have to know that we have a problem, and we should practice to address it. Hare Krishna. I think the time is over for the class, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada ki.